And what we often find are hidden infections. And one of the most common ones would be something like SIBO. One day I have, you know, blueberries and I tolerate them just fine. The next day I have them and I have a headache. I'm bloated. I don't feel good. And you're like, it's the same food. I don't understand. That's why. It's an immunological response. And it's because there's this breach. The barrier is a protective system between the bloodstream and the intestinal tract and the GI tract. Now just add, oh, I've turned stomach acid off because I'm taking a medication to turn stomach acid. So now I'm really not breaking down my food. It's getting right into the bloodstream and it's causing all kinds of uneven immune responses. So
this can be allergies. You can have histamine responses. Yep. It could be a precursor to an autoimmune disease of where now your immune system starts to get confused and it starts attacking tissues on one organ or another, which is how you know which disease you have is which tissues are being attacked.
If you've ever wondered, why am I so tired all the time? Even when my labs are normal, you're not alone.
And if you're dealing with symptoms like brain fog, hormone imbalances, or autoimmune issues that no one can fully explain, you're in the right place.
Hi, I'm Dr. Justin Lane, doctor of acupuncture, Chinese medicine, and functional medicine.
And I'm Kay Michelle Schroeder, a National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach and a certified autoimmune disease specialist.
Together, we help you uncover the root causes behind your chronic health concerns,
so that you can finally understand what's going on and take back control of your health.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Symptoms to Solutions. I'm Dr. Lane and joined today by Michelle. How are you doing today, Michelle?
Doing great, Justin.
Awesome. So today we're going to talk about our gut health and you know, why is it that I'm trying these different protocols, I'm going to the doctor, and nothing seems to be working. I still feel maybe bloated, or I'm gaining weight, I'm not able to eat much food, maybe my food selection is really drastically reduced, and no one seems to know what's wrong, and I continue to suffer. So these are common things we hear, right, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. People come in all the time, they have a lot of gas and bloating. Food sensitivities are starting to develop. And some of you might relate to this out there. You have maybe tried carnivore and you felt better for a while and then it kind of stopped working. Or you've done the AIP protocol. You've done detoxes or supplements, or you've just done a real probiotic routine with prebiotics, or you've stopped eating oxalates, or you've stopped eating high histamine foods, or a combination of any of these. And right now, eating is just flat out stressful, but you feel like if you stray off of it or do something a little bit wrong, boom, there you are with bloating, gas, you feel like garbage. So if you're exhausted from trying all these things to improve your gut health, you're in the right place today. So Justin, explain kind of something that could be going on, or I know there's more than one thing, but yeah. What do you explore when you have people coming to you, even having done many things and they still have digestive issues? What are you exploring?
And along with that, I would say that most people's starting point when they have a digestive issue, they go to primary care usually. And primary care, if they can't figure it out or handle it, it's not an acute injury or something like flu, they'll refer you to a gastroenterologist. And gastroenterologists will often do an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. An endoscopy is basically a camera through the front and colonoscopy through the back to have a look and to see what's going on. And a lot of our clients come to us and say, I've had those exams. They say everything's fine, nothing wrong. And I say, okay, what did they say? Did they give you a diagnosis? Yeah, they called it IBS. Okay, now I know what's going on. When I hear IBS, that's a red flag. Irritable bowel syndrome is typically a diagnosis of exclusion. So if you've been told that, your doctor doesn't know what's wrong. That's the truth of it. They call it IBS. It's a catch-all phrase because those exams, endoscopies, colonoscopies, they're looking for physical masses, tumors, polyps. You know, they can see some inflammation on those scopes, but if they don't see a mass or a physical object, there's nothing wrong. What we normally then discover when they come to our clinic is they have an undiscovered, undiagnosed gut infection or even an autoimmune condition in the gut that just hasn't been explored, hasn't been discovered. And so,
or even sometimes they have been diagnosed with colitis or with Crohn's disease as well. But you can talk about the autoimmune aspects of that too. But anyway,
Yeah. So it's kind of a mystery when people are coming in. They just know they're not eating a lot. And maybe they've stopped eating sugar as an example, because they know, hey, when I eat sugar or sugary foods, I feel worse. You know, they're just trying, they're searching, trying to figure out what's wrong. They've been on medication usually for acid reflux. They're taking maybe some other drugs for nausea. And so there's a true concern and also confusion as to what's going on. That's usually when they walk into the office. And there's usually 5, 10 other things going on as well. And so we're tasked with being the private investigators to figure it out. And what we often find are hidden infections. And one of the most common ones would be something like SIBO, which stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So it's a bacterial infection in the gut. It's not systemic, so it doesn't often show up on a blood test, on a CBC, we call it. So it doesn't look like you have an infection on, and it's a opportunistic infection. So that's really what we see a lot of.
If you feel like you're doing everything right and still not getting better, sometimes what's missing isn't effort, it's clarity. Many women struggling with fatigue, brain fog, inflammation, digestive issues, or autoimmune symptoms are unknowingly stuck in patterns that continue driving stress and dysfunction in the body. That's why I offer a free root cause discovery session. Together, we'll look at what may be contributing to your symptoms, where your body may be getting stuck, and what foundational shifts could help move your health in a better direction. Because healing becomes much more possible when you finally understand what your body has been trying to tell you. You can schedule your free session at the link in the show notes.
So what SIBO is, as we mentioned, it is an opportunistic infection. It's not, it's secondary to something else going on in the body. So what causes SIBO? And that's usually the question. SIBO, or sometimes we call SIFO with an F, substitute bacterial overgrowth with a fungal overgrowth. So a lot of people have heard about candida or yeast overgrowth. That's an example of SIFO. It's a fungal overgrowth. All right. So basically what it is a, it's a opportunistic infection, and it begins in people who've had a period of time with slow motility or chronic constipation. So the bowels aren't moving as frequently as we'd like or as necessary. And over time, this can develop into SIBO. So what it is essentially is when your probiotic bacteria are normally in the colon, which is the descending colon, right? And because of the inactivity of the bowels, the bacteria migrate up the GI. So the bacteria migrate, chronic constipation, that's usually what leads to SIBO. Now, what causes that? That's usually what we like to get behind. What causes SIBO are things like, over time, things like hypothyroidism. Folks that have low thyroid don't move their bowels very often, often as a pattern. So over time, this infection can develop. Another reason can be a history of traumatic brain injury and concussions. These things damage your vagus nerve in the brain. The vagus nerve connects the brain to the gut, and it moves the bowels. It's the electrical impulse to move. So yeah, the cause of SIBO can be hypothyroidism. You're not moving your bowels, usually thyroid hormones. Traumatic brain injuries, concussions, damage of the vagus nerve. That's the connection between the electrical connection between the brain and the bowels. It's the impulse to move the bowels. Opiate medications, GLP-1 and 2s, antidepressants, any number of medications can slow bowel transit over time, and that starts to lead to the problem. Food poisoning.
I've heard that that paralyzes the migraine motor complex nerves or whatever.
It can, yeah, it can damage the nerves in the stomach, and then people don't move stools quickly. So those are the common reasons how SIBO develops over time.
What's the prevalence, Justin? How often does this happen?
I would say we see a lot of it because it's dismissed out of primary care as IBS. So when people come to us, they've been sometimes already to the doc, and they're like, everything's fine. And I'm like, yeah, you probably have SIBO. What are your symptoms? We talk symptoms, and that's the key. The key symptoms of SIBO are going to be gas. Well, bloating, first of all, bloating from the sugar. So the way SIBO develops is the bacteria in our colon, our probiotic bacteria, because of the lack of motility, migrates up the digestive tract into the small intestine, right underneath the stomach. And that's as far north as they can go. So when that person then eats a trigger food, a carb, a starch, or a sugar, the bacteria also eat and they expand, which causes the bloating. And then the sugars ferment in the small intestine, which leads to the gas. And often it holds open the stomach valve, which leads acid to come up. Abdominal cramping.
So then you have a lot of, then you have a lot of burping and acid reflux, and sometimes to the point that you're driven to take those drugs that help reduce acid, which actually makes it worse long term, especially if you stay doing this for too long.
And this is the common thing, because we treat symptoms in primary care. Someone gets a drug to turn off stomach acid to treat the symptom without investigating further. Now fast forward a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. That person has no stomach acid effectively, which means now it's an alkaline environment. It's a breeding ground for bacteria, and it's negatively affecting absorption of minerals and nutrients from food.
Yeah. So just to make sure people understand that, we have acidic to help our digestion. It helps trigger the valves to open and close. It helps start the digestive enzymes to work.
To sterilize the gut too, to kill off.
It sterilizes it. When you bring in something through your food, like a parasite or something like that comes through your food and you have no acid, it doesn't clean things up for you. And then you have other problems that can happen too.
No, exactly. So you can't mount a response. So that's typically how it's treated. It's a subclinical. Doctors aren't finding it. And when they do, they usually want to prescribe antibiotics, which makes it worse long term. It often may give you a quick fix, like a Band-Aid effect, but typically within 3 to 6 months, you've now just dropped a nuclear bomb on the whole GI tract. And so that may work in a short term work, meaning you've killed bacteria, but the bacteria recolonize and repopulate. And so within 3 to 6 months, if SIBO is not dealt with properly, it's just a nuisance and it's an annoyance and it's a long-term problem to the point where people stop eating carbs and starches and sugars, even healthy things like fruit and vegetables, because it's flaring them up and they don't know why. And they're getting worse and worse, usually as time goes on.
Yeah. And if you are one of those people who notices, I can't eat a carbohydrate or a fruit or any sugar, or even some things that are good for me. And sometimes maybe you can eat some of it. But if any of that, because I've had some people that say, well, I can handle rice. I do okay with certain things, and they still have SIBO. But if there's any of that that just seems to be causing you to feel worse, tired, bloated, gassy, there's a good chance that you want to take a look at this potential hidden infection of SIBO.
And another thing I would add too is it's not always constipation. We have two flavors of SIBO. Now, usually there's some history of slow motility somewhere. That's typically how it may not be constipation. There's a lot of confusion about what constipation is. Part of that confusion is derived by primary care, because they've defined it in so many different ways that you need a technical degree to understand how they're describing it. But basically, if you're not moving your stool very quickly or at all, if you're having a bowel movement once every 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 days, that's a breeding ground. That's kind of how things can start.
And with IBS, it's like sometimes back and forth between not exactly moving to having now diarrhea.
Or loose stool, yeah. So mm-hmm. It vacillates, right? So what we see and how we measure SIBO and is done is typically over a 3-hour period. It's done as a breath test. And what we're measuring is your production of methane and hydrogen gases. Those are the byproducts of carbohydrate breakdown. We measure those over 3 hours. If either one of them are too high, it's confirmatory for SIBO. Now, methane-dominant SIBO usually presents more with constipation. Hydrogen-dominant SIBO often presents more with loose stool or diarrhea, but it's very common to go back and forth. Not unusual at all.
You talked about the vagus nerve dysfunction sort of affecting this. So to me, that kind of says maybe stress can be one of the primary issues or trauma of how someone may develop SIBO later. Is that true?
Certainly trauma through an accident, an injury, American football. And we hear about the concussions, the brain damage, but what you don't hear about is the digestion problems that usually accompany that, because we have a barrier system around our brain. It's a vascular ring that protects us from molecules that could harm us, bacteria, things like that. So when you have the force of a brain injury or a concussion forces the skull through that barrier, which breaches the barrier. that barrier is connected to your gut barrier. So when one dissolves, the other does as well. So some of the symptoms you can develop are things like brain fog. That's a neuroinflammation. So what happens with the force of a trauma, like a concussion, is the skull and the brain, you know, it pushes up against the skull. It breaches the barrier, which makes you more susceptible. Now, when that barrier dissolves, so does the gut barrier. The same protein bonds are in both barrier systems, in the digestive system as well as the brain. So when those barriers dissolve, we tend to develop symptoms systemically all over. You may not connect the dots, but things like brain fog, for example, or smell and chemical sensitivities start developing. People start getting nauseous, or they get headaches when they smell perfume or gas fumes or environmental exposures to things, smells, lotions, potions, things like that. You start noticing, I can't be around those things. I get nauseous. I get a headache. That's a sign of a barrier breach, a leaky brain, we would call that, just like a leaky gut. And it's an immunological problem. So like when you start getting down to eating the same five foods, typically you've lost your barrier's control, which means your food proteins are now getting into your bloodstream, and it's causing a systemic inflammatory response via the immune system. And so it creates a lot of unpredictability. One day I have, you know, blueberries and I tolerate them just fine. The next day I have them and I have a headache, I'm bloated, I don't feel good. And you're like, it's the same food. I don't understand. That's why. It's an immunological response, and it's because there's this breach. The barrier is a protective system between the bloodstream and the intestinal tract, in the GI tract. And so when that breaches, now you're eating. And now just add, I've turned stomach acid off because I'm taking a medication to turn stomach acid. So now I'm really not breaking down my food. It's getting right into the bloodstream, and it's causing all kinds of uneven immune responses. So it just becomes hard to figure out.
This can be allergies. You can have histamine responses. It could be a precursor to an autoimmune disease, of where now your immune system starts to get confused and it starts attacking tissues on one organ or another, which is how you know which disease you have, is which tissues are being attacked. So this is a really important thing. There's people out there that I'm just fine. I'm going to just eat so that I feel comfortable. And I've had clients that have done it for 5 or 10 years of just eating these very few foods because that's what keeps them comfortable. And they think they're solving the problem. What's the problem with ignoring and not treating this hidden infection or leaky gut or parasitic infection or whatever hidden infection is found that could be causing some of these symptoms? We've primarily talked about SIBO and SIFO, but we also talked about how you parasitic infections can happen when you don't have enough acid. So what's the problem? Like, why is it so important?
Well, you are what you absorb, not what you eat. So if you don't absorb very well, you're not going to get much benefit out of eating healthy and taking great supplements. I mean, you'll get more benefit, let's say, than eating junk food. So let's keep it in context. But the whole point is to optimize your absorption so that you get the benefit of all these things. And particularly if...
And what kind of benefit were you talking about? Like, people I've known, they don't even realize, my body can't fully repair. I mean...
Yeah, so we see clues on this all the time in blood work. So you'll see things like low calcium, low magnesium, your minerals can be low, your vitamins can be low, your iron can be low, sometimes because of a malabsorption issue. So it usually doesn't get discussed. Most people just go, I'm low in calcium, let me go buy calcium. And they're not addressing actually the cause of it. The cause is the absorption.
They're not like saying, why am I low in iron? Why am I low in calcium? Why is my magnesium low? They're just going, take more.
Exactly. And not understanding what's causing it in the first place. And as if we talk, relate this to autoimmune disease, we talk about infections as one of our six primary triggers of autoimmunity. And so this is definitely going to impact the immune system. And it's just, you know, it weakens the immune system and it weakens the ability to absorb foods and nutrients and really live healthy. More importantly, it's limiting your diet, because a lot of people go on, like you say, for years saying, I just can't eat those foods. When I do, this is what happens. So human nature says, well, let me just not eat those. And then to your example, we see people go into things like carnivore or other things, and those do have some great short-term benefits for folks, particularly if they have high blood sugar or they have SIBO because they're eating a lot of protein and they're not triggering the SIBO. The problem is long-term, that's not a good solution either. Now, I was going to share the story of a client you probably remember. He came in, he'd been around all around town, couldn't figure out what was wrong. He'd been on a carnivore diet for 5 years. We looked, he was due for a triple bypass. We ran his blood work. His cholesterol was through the roof, as you might imagine, because he ate the same thing every day, all protein, very little vegetable, very little carb. And he had a health condition called hemochromatosis, which is a mouthful, I know, but it's when people make too much iron genetically. So you have somebody who's eating only meat, has a problem with making too much iron to begin with, and he created a lot of his health problems unaware of those things. And so we basically said, hey, you have this medical condition. We need to get iron out of your body. And by the way, we need to change your diet because what you're doing is you're killing yourself. You probably didn't realize that, but that's what's happening. That's why your arteries are clogged. That's why you feel horrible. So it can he had some short-term benefit to it when he first did it. I'm sure it dropped his blood sugar and he felt better, but 5 years on, it was really causing a lot of problems. So
yeah, I want to just bring a point up here with something that clients sometimes end up with. Like they get a lot of hypervigilance around doing one particular type of diet, such as carnivore. And I'm not dogging any one particular diet, but when you get too hypervigilant around a specific thing and you have not dug into what's really going on or what the actual cause of issues are, you can actually do exactly what you just said, create more health problems. Really, really important to get clued in and do some blood work and figure out, do some testing and actually say, well, what's causing this in the first place and address the cause so that you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to eat the same five foods or have anxiety around what you're eating. It's emotionally exhausting to be in a position like that. And I work with clients all the time that are already emotionally exhausted. And then we do temporarily to correct SIBO. We have to do a little bit of a protocol, but it's not a permanent protocol. So if you're doing a protocol, probably doesn't need to be permanent. It could be, we just want to get you back to eating whole real foods, balanced diet, have your blood sugar regulated, and be able to enjoy life again. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and I would just add to that for our listeners, for the love of God, you have to get out of the primary care system and see a functional doctor or a naturopath or somebody who's clued into these things, because by and large, and not everybody obviously, but most of the time, your conventionally trained physician is not looking for these things. It's not on their radar and they're not evaluating them. And so that's why they're coming to clinics like ours or others, because they just don't know what to do anymore. They're not getting answers. They're being gaslit a lot of the times. Everything's fine. Nothing wrong with you. We don't see anything in there. Just go home and, you know, take this, take that. And they're dismissed. And so that's the frustrating thing too, I think, is a lot of people are just going, where do I go? You know, and you have to really find a doctor who's focused on the root causes of things and can really, you know, investigate that with you and teach you why this is what it is and how do we resolve it. I think it's important though, too, Michelle, to also talk about treatment options. Something like SIBO, we've spent more time on today, but there's a variety of different things to your point that we may see. We may see a SIBO infection and a parasitic infection. We've had a few clients in that role. And so maybe you want to touch on that too a little bit, just in your experience with, you know, what do you do when you have more than one infection or something not SIBO related? You know, we could talk about some other things that we often see.
Yeah, well, I think that we set priorities. So there's always a sequence in healing. And that's why I like working with your clients, because you've kind of got the priorities. And sometimes people don't trust those priorities, but we try to set priorities and do targeted support with those priorities and strategic testing. We want to make sure the testing is correct. And then, of course, just in general, like I always feel very confident that if we can get off the processed foods, balance the blood sugar, eat whole real foods, and reduce inflammation overall in the body, that our gut can start to heal. And so it can take a little bit of time. Sometimes it's hard to make all the changes all in one snap moment, which is where I come in, because I help meet you where you are and get some realistic in your life changes going on. And again, I'm always thinking biggest bang for the buck. Let's do the most impactful thing first. And a lot of times that is the things I just mentioned.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's an important point you bring up. There is a sequence of things, because the folks we work with, like our clients, you know, they may have one or two autoimmune conditions, and we have SIBO and a parasitic infection, and we have high cortisol and blood sugar. And so it's like, okay, where's our starting point? Our starting point often, though, is driven by what our clients want. What's most important to you? What's the outcome you're looking for and why? What's number one on the list? And then we start to prioritize around that. And that, you know, that has to be done sometimes, because you can't treat everything all at once. It gets to be overwhelm and we don't do anything. So it's phases and really prioritizing what's the thing that's having the most impact on all the other things. And that's the art of medicine, is figuring that out.
Yeah. So like if you right now, you might feel like your symptoms are super chaotic and you can find the pattern underneath them that's going on and have the prioritization given to you. And then it's possible to heal. You can get yourself back, get your life back.
Yeah. I mean, we've had plenty of examples of that. People that come in and use SIBO as an example, and 4 to 6 months later, they have their life back. You know, they committed to it, they did the work, and it paid off, and they don't have to deal with it ever again, which is the best thing.
And that's what I get up every day to work for, because I feel so confident that these things can go away and life can get better. So I just want to kind of close with that. So hope you all have a great day.
Have an awesome July, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We're really glad you're here.
If you're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, confused, or just tired of not having answers, and you know something's not right, just know there is a reason and there is a way forward. You don't have to keep guessing or figure this out on your own.
If you're ready to start getting real answers and understand what's really going on in your body, check out the links in the show notes to learn more about working with us.
And if this episode helped you, be sure to follow the show on your favorite podcast platform or subscribe on YouTube. And share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. And just a quick reminder that the information shared in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice. We always recommend working with a qualified healthcare provider to determine what's best for your individual needs.
We'll see you in the next episode as you continue to take control of your health.